Hey guys, welcome to The Pursuit of Wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal, and each week I talk to wellness experts and enthusiasts to extract key information that we can use to get holistically healthy. On this episode, my guest is Rajneesh Ravindran. He's an ex-boxer who now runs his own studio in New Delhi and trains people to get fit through boxing. We spoke about his training philosophy and how he got here. We also chat about how he has overcome his injuries and committed himself to achieving his goals. My biggest personal takeaway was that the only person that you should try to be is the best version of yourself. And it takes consistent training to achieve the mindset needed to get there. By the way, if you're new to the show, make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube or any podcast app that you use. It would really go a long way in helping the show grow. The Pursuit of Wellness is a Mancha Media production. You can find out more on www.manchamedia.com. You can also follow us on @ManchaPodcast on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, or follow me on @KabirUppal on all social media. Before we jump in, I want to mention our sponsor for this episode. Tego is premium activewear for the modern everyday athlete. They create products that are engineered to help you win your sweatiest battles. And I have to say, guys, Tego really knows what they're doing. Right now, I'm wearing their vaporized t-shirt. It's made from performance cotton that dries twice as fast as regular cotton, and it really works. So whether it's a grueling workout or a long-ass flight, check out Tego. You can find out more on tego.fit@tpow. That's tego.fit/tpow. With that, let's jump into my episode with Rajneesh. Welcome to the show, Rajneesh. Thanks for making it here, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time out of your training schedule and all the great people that you're helping out. So thanks for being here. So we've already given our audience a little bit of an introduction about you, but we'd love to hear for our listeners. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself in your own words?
I've been a student of various martial arts for the last 20 years. And in my free time, I like reading books, fiction, non-fiction. Maybe most of them is based on strategy and some fictional work by Murakami. I'm a big fan. I like anime.
Nice.
And like music, jazz, all kinds of music, basically. So, and I like riding my bike. So
awesome. Yeah, so do you play some jazz while you're doing training in the studio as well?
Yes, I do.
Nice.
For my training. Others don't like it. But yeah, for my session, like when I'm training myself, I prefer relaxed music. I don't like that aggressive,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
music.
That kind of helps you find your zen.
It does. It gets muted out over time. So yeah.
Nice. So where did it begin for you? When did you start your personal fitness journey? When did you start getting into martial arts?
Well, I had asthma as a kid, and I had a few severe attacks in school, and severe in the sense like I stopped breathing, and this was in class, and at that time, so it's different when you're 8-9 years old and you have an attack in front of kids. They see you differently after that, and my confidence was not there, and I had this fear that I might get it again. I was not at all physically active for a 9-year-old. I was not active because I had that problem. So I had to find a way to get rid of that. And my mother got me a cycle. And she's from a medical background. And she has been dealing with bronchitis and asthma and lung cancer and all that shit. So she never gave me an inhaler because that would have made me dependent on that inhaler.
On that, yeah.
And it would not let my immune system grow and
or
my
your
capacity.
Body kind of fight that.
Exactly, exactly. So she knew what works and what doesn't. And she got me a cycle and I started cycling and there was this Taekwondo workshop and I signed up for it and I saw this Bruce Lee movie, Enter the Dragon, and that was it. I was obsessed with it and I wanted to do more. I wanted to be Bruce Lee.
Nice.
And then I saw Dragon Ball Z and I wanted to be Goku. And then so various martial arts. And then I started doing, you know, I went to the stadium in one vacation. This is when I was 12, 13. And I saw the boxing hall.
And this is Nehru Stadium?
Nehru Stadium, yeah. Yes. At that time, it was Nehru Stadium only. So I entered the hall and I saw the ring. And I saw all the kids working out and that was it.
Yeah, that's where it started for you, huh?
Yeah, it started before that.
Yeah, but the boxing bit.
Yeah, the boxing bit. And I fell in love with it. That's the place I wanted to be. And it was an obsession then. It still is, kind of. But I've grown to a, you know, more refined version of it.
Awesome. And were you doing group training at that time or doing one-on-one? And do you compete on some levels as well?
Yes, I have competed in state level, district level. And I've appeared for a few trials as well. And I have a few medals also. Boxing and kickboxing. Boxing is hyper-competitive. There are too many bouts for one gold medal.
Yeah.
Especially in my weight class, which was 60, 64.
And they're not, from my understanding, they're not that many events happening to kind of be able to kind of, get that many people on board. As you're saying that there's, you know, it's very competitive because there are only that many competitions happening. Do you think there's room for, more events to happen around that?
I mean, the events that really matter or that put you on the national map, they are very selective. Like the federation decides which event gets their, you know, stamp of approval. Yeah. So that's one thing. And also the quality of competition. So in there are some certain events like the state championship, then you have this one championship in Munirka and Shahpur. So the competition is really good there. The experience is great. So, and these normal small time, you know, boxing clubs, like, I don't want to take names, but the commercial ones.
Yeah.
So they organize these bouts and it's primarily for the money and for exposure as well.
Entertainment mostly.
Yeah, it's entertainment and exposure of their brand, their gym. So that's not the right place to compete. I mean, you put your life on the line. You have to get something out of it. At least the experience has to be, realistic. Like if you go to a international competition, amateur competition, I'm talking about three rounds of 3 minutes. So if you go to anywhere in the world, you'll have the same experience that you'll have in these competitions, like the state level competitions sanctioned by the federation.
Yeah.
So there is politics involved
sure,
in it.
Of course.
Yeah,
of
but
course.
The bottom line is if the federation is organizing it, you can compete in that.
Awesome. And it builds to something.
It does. It does. Yeah. That's why all the kids, they don't compete in the other competitions. They do just for practice.
They're like private events where doesn't really add to your certification or to your journey.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't. It's not recognized by your achievements. Will not be recognized by the stadium or your coaches, and because the level of competition is just not there, and so for that, I mean, it doesn't make sense.
All right. So now moving into, you know, our main segment and the focus topic, which is really talking about, your journey and your experience of coaching people in boxing for fitness, right? We talked about people really, you know, coming to your classes in group or, you know, one-on-one format to be able to get fitter. So let's talk a little bit about your space. You know, how did you start that? And what went into setting that up? And, you know, how's that journey been in terms of being a business owner and somebody that is running their own studio?
Right. I wouldn't call it a business, but I mean, it is what it is. I make money out of it. So I guess it's a business. Right. So I had a bunch of clients who were friends. They, like, it was a small circle of friends who were training with me.
With you. Okay.
They had this empty garage and they decided to set it up with all the equipment. And we all came together and we contributed and we created this space. We called it the box because it is a box. It's pretty small, but it has everything that you need for boxing. And, the training, I mean, it doesn't have the space, but it is world class. The training is world class. I've trained professional boxers also there in that space. And that's how it all started. I've had that space for about 5 years now. And I've trained all kinds of people there. And it's been fun so far.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, at least for the time that I've been following you and your Instagram account, and I discovered you through some of the people that I know that train with you, it seems like, you know, people get a lot of value out of it and they're very exciting and, intense training sessions, which is bringing value to them. Right. What has been primarily your process of finding new clients? Has it been just word of mouth and now somewhat through social media? Like how are people discovering you and, the training that you're doing?
Most of it is word of mouth. And I usually prefer talking to the person before I accept that person as a client. Because a lot of my, I don't give my time just like that. I would like to give it to somebody who actually needs it. of course, money is there. I do it for a living. I need the money, but I would rather make money out of something that I derive joy out of. So if you don't want to learn, so I have medals in kickboxing also, but I'm not qualified to teach kickboxing. Kickboxing is not a martial art. I've competed, I've won, but I cannot teach that. So if somebody comes to me, I'll pay you X amount of money, teach me kickboxing, I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that. I'll teach you boxing, I know that. I'm an expert in boxing, I'll teach you boxing. So money is secondary for me. I want creative satisfaction. If anyone wants to train with me, they should have a good reason to train with me. If they want to learn boxing, please come to my gym, my studio, I'll train you. If you just want to lose weight, there are different ways to do it. Boxing is efficient, is an efficient way to do it, but it's very intense. I want to see your dedication and motivation towards it. And because that I put in a lot of energy when I train, because it's just me that I don't have people around me.
Yeah,
and it's
you're
a small
committed. You
yeah, of course.
Expect that commitment in return.
Of course. If I'm committed, I want you to be committed. I want, because otherwise there is no point. There is no point. I mean, what's the purpose of doing things that you don't get any result out of? And I like quantifying stuff. I like quantifying your performance, because everything can be quantified. And if you have numbers, then you can grow. You can improve. Even by 0.1%, you're improving. I can show you that you've improved.
There's data to back.
Exactly. Yeah. That's important. And without that, there is... And word of mouth primarily, because social media, anyone can approach you. I don't know what that person is doing and what his motivation is, what his drive is, whether he'll be able to sustain or not. That's longevity has never been my concern, because I have... Because if I'm a good coach, they'll stick around. If they are seeing results, they'll stick around. That's common sense. If something's wrong with me or my training or with them physically, they will discontinue. And that's the process, I think. Social media is helpful in gaining attention. But actual clients that you get is usually
it's
from
through reference.
Yeah, what, references only.
So I'm glad we spoke a little bit about the kind of mindset you're looking for in a student or somebody that is training with you. Mm. What is beyond that? What do you think is, you know, beyond the commitment and the seriousness? What are some other things that you think are essential for people to get into that mindset of changing their lifestyle, whether it's, you know, as you said, for losing weight or becoming efficient at boxing? What are some necessary things people really need to have, or at least build, to be able to do it long term?
Right. The most important thing is to have a goal, a target, or a destination. That's the most important thing. And the goal has to be something that you cannot achieve in your current state. Otherwise, it's not a goal. You can just put
in
the...
Yeah, you can get it now.
Right. Yep. So, for example, I want to do a full Ironman. There's another race called the Norseman, which is like sub-zero temperature, and then you swim in those waters.
Where is that?
I have no idea, but I've just... I want to do it. It's one of the most tough races, even by Ironman standards.
Yeah.
So, these goals will take, I think, about 5-10 years, I guess. And I'm committed towards it. It's not that I'm saying this now and I will not do it in the next 5 years. I will do it. I'm training every day. So if you are a housewife and you have a wedding coming up that you want to attend and you want to lose weight, that's a good target. I have nothing against it. But what happens after the marriage? You gain weight? I mean, that's something, it's just stupid. Why put in the effort if you want to gain it all back after that? So it should be a personal goal. It should work for you, not to, like, I mean, it's pointless to do something to just look good. It should stay with you.
There should be some longevity to it.
Exactly. Right? It should stay with you for a while, and it should inspire you to perform better over time. So these short-term goals, they work for you. In a short-term way, it'll go away in a few weeks or a few months. But if you have a longer plan. So your pursuit will be that much motivated if it's a long-term goal.
Yeah.
So if I want to compete in the Olympics, my dedication towards my training will be next level.
Yeah.
If I want to finish a half marathon in 130, my dedication will be next level. I will be obsessed with it. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I like people who are obsessed with, because your own standard for performance is higher. You're not competing with the other guy. You're competing with the best.
Yeah.
So when I go for a race, I look at the fastest guy who has done it. And that's my target. I am not nowhere near that number, but
That's what you want to get to.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I want. That's my standard. I will not compare myself to somebody who is my age or my height or, somebody who has done that race before that I know. I will compare myself to the best. Yeah. I will compete with the best. That is the only way to get the best out of you.
Yeah. And I think, that's partly why we call this show also The Pursuit of Wellness, because it's not like it's something that you get.
It's
constantly evolving. It's always constantly moving forward. And that's why it's a journey, right? It's not somewhere where you reach and say, haan bhi kar liya maine, chalo party, right? It's
absolutely
something that you have to keep building towards. And you like you said, there needs to be like a longer game. It's not something that you do in 3 months and then said, theek hai, I've done it. Cool beans, let's move on, right? Yeah. I also wanted to get your thoughts and kind of your explanation of what the fundamentals of boxing are and how they kind of help your clients and your students get fit. How does practicing boxing actually make you fit, and what are the different parts of your body and mental and physical fitness that it really targets?
Right. Any according to my understanding of fitness, any activity that engages your mind, body and spirit can help you develop your fitness, your body, anything. So basically, boxing for me, it engages your mind, first of all, how to apply these punches, how to perform these techniques, and it's a vast subject. I don't want to get into that because we'll be here all day then. So the body, of course, it's a physically challenging activity. It's not easy to box for half an hour or 40 minutes. It's very physically very taxing, and it's a great workout. And spirit, because it helps you push through. It helps you perform better in a way, because it's combat sports. You end up taking out your frustration on the bag or with the partner or with on mitts. So you feel better. You feel rejuvenated, at least mentally. Mm-hmm. You'll feel tired.
To a certain extent, it relieves anxiety.
Yeah, exactly.
Stress,
it does. And it's very important in today's world, because everybody is stressed for no reason. And martial arts has always given me an outlet to, express myself emotionally, not in the little terms of the word emotionally, but I channel the emotions in a different way. Whatever is happening to me, like if I'm feeling bad or sad or depressed, I end up training and I feel good. So it has worked for me. So I feel it might work for others as well, but as long as your involvement is there, if you're as involved as I am, and if you put in the effort, I think you would feel relieved afterwards.
Interesting. So would you say that it's possible for a student to and I'm not telling you to compare your students or something, but in terms of if somebody has a significant amount of anger or frustration, or as you said, a lot of people are stressed out about a lot of things which are probably not so necessary, but still, people are stressed. That's just the nature of things right now. It's just a fact. Do you think people that are stressed out or angry are actually performing better or putting more into these sessions, as opposed to somebody who's just kind of happy-go-lucky, chilling and just wants to be fit?
So the angry guy gets tired first.
Interesting.
Because no matter how good you are, you can't punch for more than 30 seconds.
Non-stop.
If you go with that anger and you go ballistic on the bag, you 10 seconds max.
Yeah.
If you're really good, like somebody like me, 30 seconds. So I'll also pass out after that. Boxing is not about anger or emotion. It's about performance.
Yeah.
And channeling emotion is different, and performing is different. You don't need any kind of emotion when you're performing. So I think, anyone who's calm, that's what I used to do when I was competing. I would try to stay calm, but the game, my performance would be aggressive.
Yeah.
Because if you're not calm, if you're not in control of your emotions, then you can't perform. You can't think, because you get 1/10 of a second to,
make
visualize.
I mean, I think from an extent of training versus competing is probably different, right?
It is.
Here people are training with you one-on-one and trying to improve their punches, they're trying to improve their form, they're trying to get fit, they're trying to improve speed, agility, whatever it might be. Competing probably requires you to be able to be calm so that you can comprehend what's happening, predict the next move or whatever might be.
But also performing these set of moves, boxing related moves, if you're angry, you won't be patient with it. It doesn't come immediately to you. you have to be patient with it. You have to understand that there is a learning curve. You have to understand that you have to repeat a certain move at least 1,000 times, just an example, to get it right, to feel confident that it'll work or it's good technically. And so when you are, I'll give you a simple example, like if you're working the bag and if you're hitting the bag with proper technique, you will not feel any pain. Of course, initial pain if you're new to the sport, but if you hit the bag with the right technique, there will not be any pain or injuries. You'll feel centered, you'll feel balanced, as opposed to somebody who's angry. He'll hit the bag with everything he has.
He's just doing it.
And he'll end up injuring his wrist, his knuckles, his elbows, shoulder, whatever, God knows. So this is the difference between performance and emotion. So if you put emotion into it, it is required, but not...
It can't be the driving force. Interesting. And if you were to kind of try to figure out a couple of different things that you have seen improve in your clients, right? Obviously, not specifically trying to say ki acha itne mahine lagenge isko karne mein, but like, is there an improvement in agility? Are they getting stronger in terms of willpower? Are their reflexes improving? What are some things that actually tangible things that your clients are and you are able to see in terms of changes in them?
Actually, all of the above. But the most important thing that I've noticed is their inclination towards exercising. So if somebody's 100 kilos plus, their inclination towards physical activity is very less. They would prefer not to exercise at all. But if I can get somebody like that addicted to boxing, my job is done.
Yeah.
If I get them into the activity, results will come later. It's years of, dieting and exercising and watching what you eat. So, but if I can get them into exercising, at least they are in the right track. They are on the right track. They're making progress. Slow, but they're making progress. So that is the most important thing. They should enjoy what they're doing. Any activity, anything, you should enjoy what you're doing. Otherwise, it is not sustainable.
Awesome. So are you saying that you're able to kind of extract a certain amount of consistency in these people or bring out a certain driving force that pushes them and allows them to consistently get back in the gym or get back to the bag so that they're continuing to be fit and continuing to progress and perform better?
You have to give it time to see results. If people are patient enough to wait for results, great. Otherwise, in the short term, you make things interesting. You
have to kind of adapt, creative with that.
Exactly. So if somebody's coming to me 3 times a week, I can't give them results in the first month.
Yeah.
I will need time. So if I don't keep things interesting and I hold a stick and tell them, I can do that, but it will not be interesting. It's somebody who's not fit at all. He'll get discouraged very easily. So I have my own methods to keep things interesting.
Can you give us like an example of something that you've done with the client to just keep it fun and get them over that hump of, starting out and therefore getting to a point?
So the most common thing that I do is I tell them to hit me. And I keep moving around sometimes.
They have to chase you down.
Yeah, they have to chase me down. Or I chase them. I keep poking them in the stomach or slap them once in a while. So not to hurt them, just to get their attention. Wake up, I'm here. So that's something that I do. And also I scream, I yell a lot and keep going.
They're keeping the energy up.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I know that these guys work hard and they have a, very hectic lifestyle, social lifestyle, professional lifestyle, and they come to just unwind and just relax.
Yep.
And in that situation, I have to, draw performance from them. I have to get them to work. So they feed off my energy.
Yeah.
So I have to be energetic. I have to, give them that energy. Otherwise, it will not work.
Well, it's great that you're able to do that for them. In terms of, like, what's a good baby step for our listeners, that might want to take up boxing or have been thinking about taking up boxing? What's a good way for them to start? Like, is it, what would you say is step number one?
Step number one would be to see what all classes are available close by, like something which is reachable, not something which is too far away, because that's not sustainable.
Just reduce friction, basically.
Yeah, reduce the excuses that you might have later on to skip. So if it's close by, that's excuse. One excuse is going to be dur hai bhai, wo hai. And then something which is economical, mehenga hai, nahi, chalo, theek hai, ye bhi mehenga bhi nahi hai. Wo bhi excuse gaya. Then initially everybody, the foundation is the same, the basics are the same. Everywhere you go, they'll teach you the basic stuff. And as you progress, as your skill level improves, then you can differentiate between good and bad. Then you can, you know, maybe pick and choose what instructor or what gym you want to go to. But initially, everything is the same. Just think about convenience. Because if it's convenient, you, the likelihood of you going there is higher. And which is more important, I think.
Yeah, just getting out
there.
Yeah,
the consistency is more important in my opinion. Because initially, nobody... I don't think people want to be like professional boxers. But somebody who's been boxing for about a year would know what a professional boxer is and how he performs. So he would like to train with an expert. So to reach that level, you have to be consistent for a year. And only then you can differentiate.
Between, you know, actually yeah. getting into
exactly.
One-on-one or personal training.
That's when you'll understand quality.
Yeah. Interesting. So you're saying that it'll take you those first few sessions or, you know, first few months to be able to get to a place where you can evaluate
exactly.
What's working for you, what's not working for you, and what kind of trainer to kind of go with, right? Great. So, you know, talking more about that, the coaching bit, you know, the personal training bit, let's talk a little bit about your experience as a boxer and, you know, what you, before, while we were not recording, we were talking a little bit about your coaching philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, why don't you run us through a little bit about what you keep in mind and what is important for you as a coach?
It's a constant pursuit of just getting the best out of everybody. I want to push you. I want to challenge you. I don't want to kill you every session, but I want to push you. I want to make you uncomfortable. And
that's where the magic happens.
That's where the magic happens. And yeah. also, I feel that I've done something. I don't want a easy client ki kar liya kar liya. I'm involved. It's yeah. I'm there.
It's not a box that you're ticking.
Not at all. Ki treadmill pe bhag lena, ye kar lena. I can't do that. I have to be involved. I will stand on your head and I'll make you work, because that's how I was trained, and that's how I will feel satisfied with the session. I'm at a stage where money is not my primary driving
force.
It is important. I have to pay bills
yeah,
and rent, but it's not the driving force. And so I need to be satisfied with my work, the quality of work that I'm doing. So for that, I have to be involved. So that's my philosophy about coaching. And also, my philosophy about training is also kind of similar, that you have to set a benchmark so high that you don't have to compete with anybody else
except yourself.
Exactly, that's what Mamba mentality is.
I love that Mamba mentality.
That's Kobe Bryant's philosophy.
Yeah, I know, man. We're all big fans of Kobe Bryant.
Followed basketball.
Yeah,
I just read this somewhere. I heard his interview, and I was like, this guy is, he's the man.
Yeah,
because his own standards are so high that nobody can compete with him.
Yeah.
Nobody.
And he's not looking left or right. He's looking just at himself and
exactly.
his own performance. He's always been like that. Yeah.
That's what obsession is all about. And he's done well for himself. And
really well.
Yeah. He's amazing. So that's something that I always keep in mind. Like, I don't want to be better than that guy. I want to be better than the best. I want, at least that's the goal. I won't reach there, but I want to compete with the best.
Yeah, and at least be better than, you know, your version of yourself.
Absolutely, that'll happen. If you look at that and if you make constant changes in your life to achieve that goal, you'll get better every single day.
Awesome. And how is that played into, you know, your personal goals? You were talking a lot about, before we recorded, about some of the amazing things that you've been able to do for yourself very recently, right? I mean, I think it blows my mind that you only started running like in January and have achieved so much in that short period, right? So what is your process? I know, I understand the process of your setting goals, but just walk us through how you've kind of, you know, set those and crushed them so efficiently.
Right. So, I was recovering from a serious shoulder injury in December, and, I gained a lot of weight, while recovering. So I was planning to just run it out and just, you know, lose that excess weight. And I couldn't do more than 5 kilometers in December and January. And then, I stumbled upon this article about Milind Soman finishing the Ironman at the age of 50. And that was the moment for me that I decided that I will do it.
Switch flipped suddenly.
Yeah. So that was the moment of, that's when the obsession started. And then I was looking for coaches, and then I found this coach online, and we started training. And my first race, for the first half marathon, I only had about 25 days to train. and I finished sub 2 hours. My coach was happy with it. I wasn't, because I was looking at 130. I wanted to do 130, which is unrealistic. I had 25 days to prepare. I've never done more than 5 kilometers in my life. But I had that goal and I wasn't happy with it. So my coach was happy with it. It was fine. So, and the next race, I wanted to improve my time even more. So the next race, it got cancelled. And, but I was still, I was putting in the work every day, every day without missing a single workout. Yeah. Because my goal is, and I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to be kind of does it guy.
So whether it's running, whether it's swimming,
anything. If I read, I read like nonstop for hours. If I listen to music, if I train, I train.
Yeah, go hard or go home.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless, what's the point? Yeah. Otherwise, what's the point of doing anything if you're not involved in it? You're kind of existing. You're just flowing with it. Just do it with conscious effort and just get something out of it.
Great, great. Awesome. So that's the mama mentality coming out.
I think so.
Moving into our final segment, you know, just to kind of wrap things up nicely here and summarize, before we move on to the summary in bit, who would you like to hear on our podcast?
There's this guy that I've been following. His name is Vaibhav Singh Rana. He goes by the name of Veer on Insta. Mm-hmm. That man was a pilot. And he turned into a yoga instructor, and now he's learning martial arts and he's teaching martial arts. And he's someone that I look up to. He doesn't know it, but I mean, he's a father.
Let's hope he hears it now.
Yeah, he's a father, he's a husband, and he does, I mean, he's following his passion. And I always had this doubt whether I'll be able to follow my passion once I have a family, but that guy is doing it. So that's quite motivating.
Reassuring that you know it's possible.
Exactly. It's motivating also that you can do it if you play your cards right and if you're smart about it. So that's one guy. I really want to meet him and speak to him, because the kind of stuff he does is amazing. It's just mind-boggling. Through yoga and now martial arts. So that is the connect. Like, he's switching from something so peaceful like yoga to Kali, which is like sticks and, you know, bone breaking stuff.
Yeah, very intense stuff.
Yeah. So, the transition is, it's quite intense.
Awesome. Well, we're going to reach out to him and hopefully he comes on and, you know, he can hear your episode and you can hear his episode. That would be awesome.
I'd love to.
You know, you said that you read a lot, right? Yeah. Fiction, nonfiction, everything. What are some sources of information that you have liked, say, in the last 6 months? That have motivated you or that you've been able to learn something from?
So there's this book called, book by Jordan Peterson called 12 Rules for Life. That's a life-altering book. I would highly recommend it to anyone. Like, not feminists, but it's a little controversial, but I mean, it's logic. So that and The Art of War, The Book of Five Rings by Miyamoto Musashi. Mm-hmm. It's all strategy that you can apply in day-to-day life, professional life. Then you have... I mean, the Joe Rogan podcast is something that I constantly...
We all love it here. Yeah.
And lectures from Jordan Peterson and other professors. And one thing that I enjoy a lot is watching stand-up comedy on YouTube. So George Carlin is my favorite.
He's that guy's a rock star, man.
Yeah, he's a genius.
Yeah.
He's a genius. He was way ahead of his time. And all of his videos, even Dave Chappelle for that matter, he's just too good.
Yeah, man, I love Chappelle. I love watching the Chappelle show.
Now he has evolved into somebody who's similar to George Carlin level, but not the same. They can never be another George Carlin.
Yeah. I think they're both unique in their own way, but I see what you mean in terms of...
The humor is intelligent. Yeah. It's not just mindless, you know, black jokes and racist jokes. It's intelligent. It makes you
Gets
think.
Gets you thinking. Yeah.
So that and podcasts.
What are some of your favorite podcasts?
There's this ex-Marine Jocko.
Yeah, Jocko Willink.
Jocko Willink's podcast.
Yeah, he's great, man.
It just gives me
goosebumps.
He's hardcore. Yeah.
He's hardcore. Just, have you seen his Instagram videos where he's just staring into the camera? Fucking creepy, man.
Yeah, every Monday.
It works for me. Yeah.
When he says, no, get it, go get it. Like, I'm getting it, coach, I'm getting it. So it works for me. Because that mindset is important.
Yeah.
He wakes up every day at 4 o'clock.
And just crushes it all day.
Yeah.
Yells at people, gets them to do shit.
Yeah.
Good life.
Yeah. I think so.
No, he's an interesting character, man. I like following him too. So great. So, some closing thoughts for our listeners. You know, what is some stuff that, you want people to know about your practice, about, boxing in general? Some things that, you feel that they should, take away at the end of this.
Right. I feel, there's a lot of stigma attached to boxing. If you ask anyone or if you mention boxing, instantly the Mike Tyson face with the tattoo, ear biting incident, rape incident, it comes to everybody's picture because they're not informed. They're not educated enough about
There's
boxing.
There's so much more to it.
There is so much more to it. And boxing doesn't mean that you're aggressive. Boxing means that you are trained in a certain martial art.
Yeah.
Every martial art is aggressive. And there are certain martial arts that teach you how to kill. Boxing is not that bad.
Not that, yeah.
So that, it breaks my heart when I hear, oh, Mike Tyson.
To get boxing. The right perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
You want
so
people to know the
They
right
judge
things.
You like if you've been a boxer. Arey, ye toh maar dega. Kyun?
Isse dur raho, bhai, bach ke raho.
Kyun maar dunga?
Random stuff.
What have you done to me? Why would I hit you? Yeah. I'm not crazy. I'm not stupid. So that's something that I wish could change in India, especially because it's not there abroad. I don't think it's there abroad. They respect.
So just the mindset and approach and
mindset,
how it's looked at.
And also, fitness nowadays is more about Instagram videos and personal goals. And
gotta do it for the Insta.
Exactly. Yeah. If I post pretty much like 30 to 40% of my workouts because I want to inspire others or motivate others. I don't like showing off, but I have to show these things because it might help somebody. That's the objective. And it might motivate others.
I mean, videos of, you with your clients makes me want to, do boxing and do training. Because it seems like a great, great, intense workout that is going to have benefits.
That's the objective. And I post videos of everybody from a very fit guy to a very unfit person also. So that should be the range. Boxing is for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone. I train kids also. It's for everyone. I've trained a 50-year-old man also, a 60-year-old man also, a guy with one leg. He had polio. I've trained that person also. So it's for everyone. You just need the right coach and the right attitude and the mindset.
Great. So, let's hope that this episode at least changes the perspective of the listeners that are, tuning in and the viewers that are tuning in. If there's people want to reach out to you, potentially train with you or get more information or your thoughts on other things related to boxing or fitness in general, where can they reach out to you and how's the best way to kind of get in touch with you?
I'm available at BoxyPath on Insta and you can contact me on my email, coachrajneesh@gmail.com.
Awesome. So for our listeners and viewers, all of that information will be in the description and the show notes. We'll put all the links to be able to get in touch with Rajneesh and also give you links of all the great books and references he's given us that have inspired him and motivated him. Thanks, Rajneesh, man. I really appreciate you being here.
It was a pleasure. Thank
and hopefully we can, have you on the show again. And we're excited to keep following your journey. And I'd love to also potentially train with you and experience that as well. So thank you for being here and thank you for giving our listeners and viewers your take on boxing and how it helps people be fit.
Thanks for having me.
Alright guys, thanks for watching or listening. We hope you gained something from that episode that helps you on your wellness journey. We have some great episodes this season which will help you deep dive into various fitness and nutrition methods, like the one with nutritionist Avni Kaul on alcohol and wellness, or my friend Neha Bedi on keto and how it helps you lose weight. Definitely check those out. If you liked anything from this episode, please show us some love and subscribe or follow us. We'd love for you to be a part of this process. So write to us on our social media @MunchaPodcast or comment on YouTube. Until next time, thanks for watching, guys.